You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And this is our monthly show where we dedicate an hour to building a culture of life and giving you information on how you can build a culture of life in your community, in your parish, in your family. And that's a culture that truly works to protect the sanctity of life from conception until natural death. And I am joined in studio by Victor Vallejo. He's my program manager and Latino outreach coordinator for the Respect Life office. Welcome, Victor.
Thank you, Margie, for having me.
Oh, no problem. I'm really, this is like a boot camp for Victor since Brian, our engineer, board operator, producer, jack of all trades behind the glass, that was his voice interjected there. So really glad to have Victor in studio. You'll hear most, I'm going to include him with the next guest, but with the first guest that we have coming up shortly, you won't hear too much of Victor. So don't worry, he is here. Today we're going to talk about Respect Life Month and how you can get involved in Respect Life activities during this month. So just so you know, there's a wonderful statement online at the U.S. Bishop's website, and that can be found at www.usccb.org, and it's by Cardinal Daniel DiNardo. He is the chairman of the Pro-Life Secretariat of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I will quote from his show, from his letter periodically during this show, not his show. I don't know if he has one. but he should, because he's really interesting. The Catholic Church throughout the United States observes Respect Life Month in October, and it has been an annual tradition that is now in its 40th year. Can you believe it? 40th year of having a Respect Life Month in the Catholic Church. And Cardinal DiNardo said that beginning on October 2nd, 2011, Respect Life Sunday, Catholics across the nation will join together to witness to the inherent quality and transcendent value of every human being. And he goes on to say, in countless liturgies and events, we will give thanks to God for the gift of human life and pray for his guidance and blessings on our efforts to defend the most vulnerable members of the human family. And that we will voice our opposition to the injustice and cruelty of abortion on behalf of those victims whose voices have been silenced. So, that's important. That's really a lot of what we do in the Respect Life office, and we ask our parish Respect Life coordinators to focus on these things, to have liturgies, to have pro-life holy hours, to give thanks to God for the gift of human life, and to pray for protection, of life, and that we can defend life in our culture. He goes on to say, we will voice our opposition. I think I already said that, but I think I'm going to repeat it because it was so important. You can tell I'm really tired, and Victor is tired too. But we're gonna pull through here this morning. We will voice our opposition to the injustice and cruelty of abortion on behalf of those victims whose voices have been silenced. That's really that 40 Days for Life component. I really believe it, that we're going to talk about in the second part of the show. At the same time, we will remind the living victims of abortion, the mothers and fathers who grieve the loss of an irreplaceable child, that God's mercy is greater than any human sin, and that healing and peace can be theirs through the sacrament of reconciliation and the Church's Project Rachel ministry. It's really awesome, and that this year's theme for Respect Life Month and for the year of Respect Life from the U.S. bishops is, I came so that all might have life and have it to the full. And that's from John 10:10, I believe. where Jesus refers both to our hope of eternal life to be restored through his death and his resurrection and to our life in this world. Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. So, but at this time, I would like to bring in Kara Carmody into the conversation. She is from Ascension Parish in Oak Park, and Kara is going to discuss some of the many pro-life activities that will be taking place this Respect Life Month in her parish. So welcome to the show, Kara.
Hi, Margie. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad that you can be here this morning. So, you know, I noticed when we were, you know, I was looking at the Faith in Action e-newsletter that Emily helps me put together, and I was looking through it before sending it out. I go, oh my gosh, Ascension Parish is really doing a lot, and God bless you. Tell me a little bit about, first tell me about who you are and how you got involved in the pro-life cause.
Okay, well, first, our parish, which is Ascension Parish in Oak Park, a few years back, we realized, a good friend of ours actually realized, Laura Nowicki, that, you know, we had a void going on. We did not really have an active pro-life group, and we felt that there was a need for it. And so she kind of resurrected, so to speak, our pro-life group at our parish, and unfortunately had to move to Colorado with her family. And so I was asked very graciously if I would kind of take over for her, and Carol Price, who is my co-chair, who is a huge help, I couldn't do it without her, both of us have kind of taken over the group. And, you know, we feel that as a group, we are here to kind of open our parish, their minds, and convert their hearts through education and peaceful prayer. And we felt a great way to do that is to kind of jump onto the 40 Days for Life. And, you know, the National 40 Days for Life focuses more on prayer, fasting, you know, a lot of stuff directed, you know, solely on abortion. And we, obviously, that's one of our main issues. But as a parish, we feel like, you know, to open more hearts, convert, or, you know, get people into this group, we need to look at life just from, not just from abortion, but from conception all the way through to natural death. So we have topics throughout this 40 days that focus on some of those life issues, not just abortion, but things like, you know, last year we had in our 40 days things involving immigration or the death penalty. So we have lots of stuff going on, and we're really, really excited about it. This is our third year, and we feel like we're gaining momentum, and we're especially excited about these 40 days. So we do have some great events going on, and I'm really happy to be here talking about them.
No, that's great. And, you know, what people don't realize, many people don't realize, is that Respect Life Month is to cover all the life issues from conception all the way to natural death, really focusing on the sanctity of life, the dignity of the person, you know, and educating on that. And so it does mean that, you know, it's more than just Respect Life Sunday, because you're going to need to get the information out on a whole host of issues, you know, and not just abortion, and you can't get them all in on one Sunday.
Exactly. Well, and I think that's where Respect Life starts, is from conception. If you respect something so sacred that God has is given as a miracle and a blessing, then you can see how that extends to all stages of life, young people, the older people, and the end of the life process, death. So, we are thrilled to have some of these wonderful speakers coming to our parish.
That's great. We're going to head to a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to have more of this exciting discussion with Kara Carmody from Ascension Parish in Oak Park. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. and I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. And so I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko, Brain Director of the Respect Life Office. And again, I'm joined in studio by Victor Vallejo. And on the phone, we have our guest, Kara Carmody, from Ascension Parish in Oak Park, Illinois. And we were talking about what you were doing, you know, all your plans at your parish and how that, you know, what was the impetus behind this plan that you have during Respect Life Month. So, Kara, can you tell me a little bit about what you have in store for folks this year?
Sure. This year, we decided, and it's kind of funny because before I had spoken with Ray Pignoy through the Archdiocese as a group, we had kind of decided this year one of our sort of themes for our 40 days is going to be focusing on the youth. And it just so happens it's the Archdiocesan Year of the Teen, which just coincides really well with our thinking for these 40 days. So we wanted to have some presentations or speakers that would really get our youth in our parish, in our community, involved in a culture of life. And we feel like they're our future, and in our world, we have a hard time showing, I feel like, respect for life. We don't have as many good, positive role models and things going on in our media, and it's good to have more positive and getting the youth involved in something so important, such as Respect Life. So one of our speakers is Leah Darrow, who was a contestant on America's Next Top Model.
And yeah.
From Catholic Answers. She's going to be talking on Tuesday, October 18th at 7 o'clock in our Pine Room. And her talk is, you know, encouraging greatness rather than comfort. She's talking about what she experienced as a model and kind of coming away from the faith and realizing at a point, this is not who I am. This is not right. I need to come back to God. I need to come back to the faith. And not just youth, but anybody can have that same feeling at some point in their life, and I'm really excited to hear her inspirational talk. And
and we're excited that you have opened your doors there to Leah, since we're bringing her in for our benefit dinner on that Sunday, October 16th, because most of the money that we most of our budget, I would say 99% of it for Chastity Education, the money comes from donors. So we have to do some major fundraising throughout the year. And she has agreed to come and speak at our dinner for free. She's donated back her speaking fee on that. And we were so excited. We were already thinking about having her come and give do a speaking tour in Chicago to the youth, mostly girls. But in your case, I think it's going to be it's open to boys and girls. You know,
correct.
So that's great. I think because the boys need to see this example of a good woman. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. So we're really excited that you're going to be hosting Leah Darrow, and I think a lot of people don't realize that when we have these speaking tours in the Archdiocese that we provide this. So that's why I had to make sure we make a plug for the Chastity Ed Initiative. So thank you. And so what else you've got? I saw you have Gretel Donahue. She's a doctor, and she's going to be speaking tomorrow?
Correct. She's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in our Pine Room, and her title of her presentation is Promoting the Culture of Life, which I'm really excited about because I think some people don't understand, what is this culture of life? What are we talking about here? And her presentation kind of goes into her experience as a doctor in the medical field, what she's seen in regards to respecting life and abortion and things like that. And she talks about kind of real facts, current, up to date, of what is going on in our world. You know, mm-hmm. how many babies are being aborted and what are we doing as a culture to prevent this, and so I'm really excited to have her come for the first time. We've never had her speak at 7 o'clock tomorrow night in our Pine Room.
Yeah, she's an excellent speaker. I know her pretty well, so you'll do well with her there. And then you have on October 9th at 6 p.m. you have another speaker.
John Jansen, correct. He's from Generations for Life. And again, going along with our theme of, we kind of wanted to target some of these events to our teens or our youth group. He talks to, I would say high school and going into college age is his audience. And he is there to kind of give a message of when you are faced with, the pro-choice, so to speak, arguments or, to stand up or speak up for pro-life issues, what are the talking points? What are the, he's there to give the tools so that these young people can go forth in the world and kind of know what am I talking about here when I say I'm pro-life, or what does it mean to be against abortion, and how do I come up to these other pro-choice arguments and know that I have a good background and that I can make the right choices in my own life, that I understand really what all of this means as a young adult.
Well, that's wonderful. It's a great opportunity. And then you end on October 20th with a Holy Hour for Life, right? And that's open for everybody?
Oh, absolutely. All of these events are open to whoever would like to come, yes.
Wonderful. And then so how can people find out more information on any of these events?
More people can find out about the events by I know that you guys have all of our events listed on the Archdiocesan website. Is that correct, Margie?
I don't think so. We did it through an email.
Okay.
So I don't think it's on the website.
Okay. So we have, if they want to contact myself, I have my email, which I'm happy to give out. I also have an email that you can, we're asking for RSVPs to some of these events. However, they are absolutely not necessary to come, but I can give you that email for people. It's aweber.rl2011@gmail.com, or my email is caracarmody@yahoo.com.
So C-A-R-A, and mm-hmm. then Carmody is C-A-R-M-O-D-Y?
Right, at yahoo.com.
Okay, wonderful. So,
and they can also call our parish office. We'll have all the information. That's Ascension Parish in Oak Park. And they can also look on the website for Ascension Catholic Church has a calendar that they can pull up with each date on there.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Kara, for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Margie.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless your efforts to build a culture of life in your parish and the community of Oak Park. What a blessing. So we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we'll be joined on the phone by Lauren Muzica, campaign strategist for the National 40 Days for Life campaign. So stay tuned to Life Talk. Hello, I'm Margie Mansko-Breen of the Respect Life office, inviting you to the 9th annual Educating Minds, Inspiring Hearts Dinner to benefit the wonderful work of our Chastity Education Initiative. Join Cardinal Francis George on Sunday, October 16th at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. Our guest speaker is former fashion model Leah Darrow, who will share her courageous story of rediscovering her Catholic faith. For more information and to register for the event, go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355 or visit respectlifechicago.org.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And I'm joined in studio by Victor Vallejo, our Program Manager and Latino Outreach Coordinator. Victor, I promise, will be part of the discussion for this part of the show. This is October is Respect Life Month. So this whole show is about what you can do and how you can get involved in the pro-life cause. So at this point, I'd like to welcome Lauren Muzica, campaign strategist for the national organization 40 Days for Life. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Margie. It's great to be with you all today.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I was telling Victor, oh my gosh, you have so much energy and so many good stories that, I think it'll light a fire it definitely inspired me. But I'm hoping that your stories and your ideas will inspire so many more people to get out there and to make a difference. Because there's so many positive things that can come from that, and we can really save lives.
Absolutely.
So, Lauren, give us a quick description of, what 40 Days for Life is supposed to be like. A lot of people don't know, but maybe you can give us that elevator pitch or, the quick one, if you only had 60 seconds.
That's right, the token elevator speech, right? Mm-hmm. In our training modules, we tell those that are leading a campaign that, if you only had 1 or 2 minutes with somebody on an elevator, what would you say when somebody asked you, what is 40 Days for Life? So, 40 Days for Life is a focused pro-life campaign with a vision to access God's power through three components. It's prayer and fasting, because we know that the scriptures tell us that some demons can only be cast out by prayer and fasting, mm-hmm. as well as peaceful vigil in front of a local abortion or referral center, and then community outreach. So, while we're praying in front of our local abortion center, while we're praying and fasting, we also go out to our community with this message and invite folks to pray with us. And the goal of the campaign is to cooperate with God's will to end abortion in our country. And, you know, we're already seeing how it's rippling beyond America, so really in our world, but our focus is the U.S. And as we take this message out, you know, we are just seeing miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And yes, our goal is to be peaceful, prayerful, and law-abiding. And I think that we get so many results because people see that the approach is above reproach. When we're out there, you know, we lovingly offer alternatives to women who are going in. No one's expected to sidewalk counsel, but women often that are servicing the abortion center or the men that are with them or the families that are with them, they see that person out on the sidewalk praying for them, or they might see a group of people out in front of the abortion facility praying for them. And that really moves their hearts, and because of that, we've seen many lives saved and many hearts turned back to Christ and the saving grace that is available through Him. So why 40 days, you might ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 40-day campaign, because throughout biblical history, we've seen how God has used periods of 40 days to bring about a transformation in His people. So we see Moses 40 days on Mount Sinai, Noah 40 days in the flood, 40 days and 40 nights. We see Jesus spending 40 days with the apostles and His disciples after His resurrection. And so, again, this period of 40 days has brought about a transformation in God's people. And so this is why we've adopted the time period of 40 days, and truly we've seen the power of it through God's power. So
that's wonderful. And I just want to let our listeners know that if they have a question or a comment for Lauren about 40 Days for Life, they can call in at 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. We welcome your questions or comments. It's so interesting because, you know, I know that there are so many good things happening with this campaign. And how is it for you? Because you talk to a lot of campaign directors, right?
Yes.
And the people who are on the local level, you know, who need the help, or, you know, who need, you know, just a little bit of hand-holding at first. But then they probably tell you about some of the fruits of their prayers, right?
Absolutely.
What are some stories? Are there some stories that really stand out in your mind?
Yes, I mean, gosh, we definitely could be here all day. I mean, I get to talk to all of these wonderful campaign directors who, I mean, truly, sometimes I'm listening to them and I'm thinking, Lord, you sent me to minister to these people. I mean, they're
wow.
Just wonderful servants of God that are pouring themselves out, that quite often have really big commitments in their lives. You know, they are a stay-at-home mom, or they do have a full-time job, or a couple people, you know, a married couple, they're doing it as a family. So you see all different scenarios, all, you know, just wonderful people that, too, have been a prayer volunteer for a long time out on the sidewalk and then have chosen to suddenly run this big campaign, which quite often is the largest pro-life mobilization that their community's ever seen. So the national team thought it would really be great to have somebody on the team that can advise campaigns. I had the great privilege of co-leading the Dallas, Texas fall campaign last year, and we saw the miracle of 4,000 people out on the sidewalk. I mean, just amazing. And there were days that I would go out there, and based on an event or a school trip or something, there would be 300 people out there at one time, you know, covering this late-term abortion facility in prayer where they're aborting children through 24 weeks of pregnancy or 6 months. And so they said, hey, how would you like to do this full-time? And it's just my great privilege to talk to these wonderful campaign leaders. You know, there's so many stories that float through my head. One of my favorites, I believe that this was in Alabama. There was a community in Alabama this past spring it was a prayer volunteer whose son was a patrol officer in the area surrounding the 40 Days for Life vigil. And he noticed that as he drove by the vigil site and realized, okay, these people are praying, and he was getting calls that were coming in, he realized at the end of the 40 Days for Life campaign that he had gotten half the calls that he normally does. In other words, from his vantage point, it looked like the crime rate had dropped in half immediately surrounding the vigil site.
Wow.
And so, you know, in some ways it's no surprise to me, because as this community is being covered by prayer, it's having an effect on people. It's stirring the hearts of the people. This is one of the beautiful side effects of 40 Days for Life, that as people are called to the reality of abortion and what it's doing in their community, they're called back to God, and they're called back to the call to get on their knees and turn their lives back over to Him. So that's one of my favorite stories. There are so many stories where after one or two campaigns, a woman will randomly show up at the vigil site and she'll say, "Hey, I want to show you guys something," and she'll bring her baby out to show the prayer volunteers on the sidewalk. And we'll say, "Hey, you know, a couple campaigns ago when you all were out here praying, I was driving into this abortion facility and thinking about aborting my child. And then I saw all of you praying out here and I realized that I just couldn't do it." And so maybe at that moment she didn't say, "Hey, you changed my mind," or "You had an effect on me," but she showed up later to encourage the prayer volunteers and say, "Because of you, my son or daughter is alive now."
Wow. So, yeah, you know, the story you said about crime decreasing in that one area, isn't it that they, I don't know who it was that said that crime actually goes up, you know, in an area near an abortion clinic because it's something to do with the violence, you know, of abortion, but it does draw out more crime.
And then
with the prayer, you know, you have adoration chapels where they say when a community starts 24/7 adoration in the parish, crime does go down.
Right.
They say that is a wonderful thing. So it's kind of the same thing. You know, you're praying 24/7 in most cases at these clinics, and it is a similar type of prayer as in an adoration chapel, although Jesus isn't there, but we do say when two or three are gathered, you know, in His name, I mean, He is there with us. You know, the
Absolutely.
Lord is with us. So
Absolutely.
We're going to have to head to a quick break. And when we return, we're going to talk more about this interesting topic of 40 Days for Life. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and I am joined in studio by Victor Vallejo, my program manager and Latino outreach coordinator, and Lauren Muzica, campaign strategist for the National 40 Days for Life campaign, the campaign prayer and fasting campaign to end abortion. And if you have a question or a comment on this topic or for Lauren specifically. Our number is 312-255-8408. And I always seem to forget, you know, to mention that number, but today I'm making a real effort to mention the number. So please do call if you want to be part of this important discussion regarding an activity that is so important to Respect Life Month, especially. Yes, it's done at during Lent as well, right, Lauren? But right. For us in Chicago, we specifically just do it during fall. So we can only handle so many campaigns. It's really hard to ramp up. But Victor had a question for you.
Yeah Lauren, I would like to ask you, how long did you get involved in this ministry?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, I had the great privilege of being part of the original 40 Days for Life. I wasn't on the leadership team, but I was a participant. For anyone that's read Abby Johnson's book, Unplanned, you know, she describes what it was like. And for those who don't know, she was a former director of the Bryan College Station Planned Parenthood, and that Planned Parenthood abortion facility that went up in Aggieland, Bryan College Station, in 1998, and then in response, there was a wonderful grassroots organization that was formed, the Coalition for Life. So I was a prayer partner, I was a sidewalk counselor, but Abby Johnson describes what it was like on the other side of the fence before 40 Days for Life showed up. You know, we look like really like a royal circus out there. I mean, we had the Grim Reaper walking up and down the sidewalk. We had a man that was raising the American flag every morning. We had people with very large graphic images. And those images can be useful in certain contexts, but I think on abortion morning, it was particularly hard for a woman to feel like she could approach a sidewalk counselor or a prayer volunteer. So I remember sidewalk counseling on those mornings, and even though I was peaceful and prayerful, you know, I was almost guilty by association. You know, if a girl in crisis was going into that center, it wasn't easy for her to approach the prayer volunteers or the sidewalk counselors out on the sidewalk. And then when David Sean, and of course now his wife Mary Lisa, and another volunteer at the Coalition for Life had that 1 hour of prayer, we talk about the legend of the old wooden table. They were frustrated. They were not seeing a difference in the abortion numbers in their community, and they came together around this old wooden table, and they prayed for an hour. And I think that's so noteworthy because, you know, it wasn't a market study, or they didn't poll the audience, so to speak. They came together over an hour of prayer, and that's when God laid on their heart this idea of 40 Days for Life. And so I remember in the fall of 2004 going out with, you know, now my husband Peter, my friend Peter at that time, other brothers and sisters from our local parish, and praying in front of that Planned Parenthood abortion facility, yes, 24/7 for 40 days. And at the end of that first campaign, the abortion rate in that community dropped by 28%, so almost by a third. And, I mean, that was over 100 lives that were spared in our local community. And, you know, they said, is anybody going to be crazy enough to do something like this? They thought it would just be a one-time thing. They put it away and make it part of their history. Well, Dallas, Texas actually gave them a call that winter and said, hey, we heard about what was going on with this 40-day campaign, and we'd like to try it here in Dallas in front of the late-term abortion facility. And so in the winter of 2004-2005, Dallas, Texas prayed out in front of the Aaron's late-term abortion facility off of the Loop, LBJ, here in Dallas. And that abortion facility shut down a couple years later and, in fact, was leveled to the ground without a trace. And that is just, you know, representative of 15 other abortion facilities that have also been shut down because of a 40 Days for Life campaign. So, you know, and in time, David Bierut actually left that local Coalition for Life. He was directing that Coalition for Life effort in Bryan College Station. He became director of American Life League and very soon went national with 40 Days for Life in 2007. Mm-hmm. So since 2007, there have been, this is now our ninth coordinated campaign that we're in the middle of, but there have been eight other campaigns, now traditionally holding a campaign in the spring and in the fall every year. So that's the history of 40 Days for Life. But so I had the great pleasure of being part of the original one. When I was in law school at Ave Maria School of Law, I was part of the Ann Arbor, Michigan 40 Days for Life. And then when I came back home to Dallas, Texas, I was able to co-lead this effort as well.
Wonderful.
So, great.
Yeah.
So you have experienced that prayer changes the culture of death. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Victor, you know, he came to us because, you know, he was you know, he got some his degree in his master's in divinity, and was praying outside an abortion clinic with this priest that we know very well. And this priest is a Siwa counselor. He's helped save so many babies from abortion, and you know, their mothers from the pain and the guilt of the abortion. And so Victor came to us that way. So you know, he has the experience of being outside those places of death.
That's wonderful, and it really does make a difference. You know, we get these testimonies all the time. I mean, now we've seen 4,313 lives that have been spared from abortion because an abortion-minded woman was going into a facility and they saw maybe one prayer volunteer out there, that person who was a conduit of grace for that person that morning or that family that morning, you know, not to mention what happens when a whole group of people show up. I mean, people will just leave the abortion center one after another sometimes, you know. But Victor, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your commitment, because it really does make a difference. And you may not hear something right then out on the sidewalk. You may hear something months later, but it is so worth it, and we're seeing the fruit of it. So
now, do you have experience with clinics that, like personal experience with a clinic giving you a hard time, you know, calling the police, you know, and do you hear about this stuff, and what do you suggest to people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, we see the gamut. I mean, I think by and large, our campaigns have been kept very safe. I really attribute that to the prayer. Usually the worst thing that we hear about is, you know, somebody threw a tomato at the sidewalk, or there were counter-protesters that showed up there, or one of my favorites was in Augusta, Maine, where they put a sign up in the window of that quote, family planning facility that said, 40 days of lies. 40 days of lies. I don't know how you can say that with people who are so sweet just praying out on the sidewalk, but it's funny because these abortion facilities sometimes report the spiritual barrage that they're under, spiritual attack that they're under, and you know, you go out there and it's this grandmother praying with a crucifix in her hand, or it's a family with five kids that are out there praying. So it just cracks me up how these abortion facilities try and paint the prayer volunteers as such monsters, but then you go out there and there's nothing going on. But yeah, they will try a whole lot, and I think it's because their consciences are being stirred and their hearts are being challenged. And you know, when they're dealing with 40 days of prayer, I mean, that is a spiritual, you know, barrage, if you will, because, I mean, prayer does get results. God's grace really has an effect on a community when people go out there and pray. When God's people show up and they pray, miracles happen. But, yeah, I mean, they will call the police. They'll put up banners. They'll have sometimes a little community event like, you know, Pledge a Protester or
something
like that.
Yeah, I've seen that. Planned Parenthood had that.
Right, absolutely. But I think it's just that they don't know how to respond. And on one hand, you know, how can you respond? Because you can't argue with prayer. I think that everybody who works for the abortion facility at some point has been brought to their knees in prayer. At some, you know, at some juncture in their life has appealed to God, you know. And so they look at that prayer presence and they say, well, on one hand, I can't argue with it because they are being peaceful, prayerful, and law-abiding. But on the other hand, you know, there's just such a war inside of them. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've seen 53, I mean, these are the ones that we just know about, 53 abortion workers who have left the abortion facility. And as campaign strategist, when I wrote a report at the end of this past spring campaign, you know, documenting some of the things that had occurred all around the U.S. and even around the world with our campaigns, one of the most often, one of the biggest responses that I got in response to the question of, you know, what was the effect on the abortion center was, we're praying with a couple of the workers that are thinking about leaving our local abortion facility. That was one that surprised me the most. I think it was like the third most often response that I got to that question. So it's just amazing. I mean, people are being changed by this prayer presence. It's awesome.
So, you know, last night you and I were chatting on the phone about, you know, I was telling you that in Illinois, we're experiencing a very bleak time, you know, in terms of being for pro-lifers, for folks who, you know, for Catholics, for our own religious liberties, and on a national level, too. But we know we hear about all these clinics closing in different cities all over the country. But we're not hearing about that in Illinois. We're not hearing about that in Chicago. We're hearing that numbers have gone up slightly, in our counties here, the two counties that make up the Archdiocese of Chicago. So, you were kind of giving, putting it all into perspective about that there is hope, and that, like you were saying about those abortion clinic workers praying, praying with some of the folks praying outside of the clinic, the 40 Days for Life folks, trying to make that change. Clinics are closing. But what about, what do you have to say to us about, there is hope?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, keep in mind that we are praying as a community and a family worldwide. And one of my favorite stories this past spring, Dallas, Texas traditionally holds a fall 40 Days for Life. They don't do a spring campaign. But during the month of April, they saw more turnaways, more saves, if you will, from the five Dallas abortion facilities than they ever saw. And there was one morning, actually, where they had seven saves at a local abortion facility, and we went to the sidewalk counselor, Rebecca, and we said, did you have a sidewalk counseling epiphany? What happened that there were seven turnaways from this clinic this morning? Wow, it's just unbelievable. And she said, I felt the prayers of all of the 40 Days for Life communities around the world. Isn't that amazing? I mean, first of all, what an act of humility on her part to say that. But it just goes to show that, all of God's people, as they raise their voices as one against the scourge upon, their local community, our country, and the world, everybody is responsible for those lives that have been saved, for those hearts that have been touched. So first of all, recognizing the communal aspect of this. The other thing that I'll share with your listeners is that there was a campaign that particularly touched me this past spring, and the name escapes me. I mean, now with 300 campaigns this fall, it's hard to remember city names sometimes. But this particular campaign, they're praying in front of an abortion facility, and the people completed their 40 days, and they thought, gosh, did we have any effect this campaign? We didn't see anything, remotely resembling what other campaigns were reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out it was just right after the 40-day campaign, that there was a Xerox copy man that was servicing the abortion center. He overheard workers inside talking about relocating their abortion center because they couldn't take the spiritual pressure from the prayer people out on the sidewalk.
Oh.
And that little tidbit got back to a cousin who told a husband who told his wife who was leading the campaign. I mean, it just kind of filtered on down the grapevine, if you will. And little did they know that they were having such an effect on that abortion center.
Oh, that's,
and, it just goes to show, Mother Teresa says we are not called to be successful, we are called to be faithful.
Amen. Yeah,
yes.
We're going to need to head to a quick break. Sorry about that. Don't mean to cut you off, but you've got a lot of great information, and I told everybody that they'd be inspired. So when we get back from the break, we'll discuss more with Lauren about 40 Days for Life. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to World Youth Day in Madrid, where 1.5 million young adult Catholics from around the globe gathered in prayer and celebration with the Holy Father. We'll attend a multi-faith 9/11 memorial service 10 years after that fateful day. And we'll visit with the man who heads our vocations office and find out what he's doing to foster vocations within the Archdiocese.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your archdiocese.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, three open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including two trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko, Breen, in studio with Victor Vallejo and Lauren Muzica on the phone. And Victor, you had we were talking during the break here. You had a question that I thought was really good.
Yeah, I think we've been talking about the importance of prayer, but now what kind of fasting would you recommend, Lauren, to our faithful here in Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Well, you know, fasting can be anything that you feel called to give up, just like Lent. Some people, and in fact, whole families, especially where the mom and the dad are leading that local campaign, they'll say, hey, no TV for 40 days, and instead of watching TV in the evenings, we're going to go out to our local abortion facility. Some may choose to fast from alcohol. Some may choose to fast from sweets. I'm doing a 40-day fast through the Maker's Diet, which has been very challenging, but a huge blessing. You know, anything where if you go to reach for that cup of coffee or you're getting ready to turn on the television, you stop and you say a prayer for an end to abortion, and you offer that suffering up. So I think anything that would bring a reminder to you of the reality of abortion, I know something that's been placed on my heart with this fast has been praying and fasting for the abortion doctor, for this doctor that is doing late-term abortions here in Dallas. I'm praying and fasting for him and his wife. It's just really been put on my heart because God wants him saved too. We know who the enemy is. These people that work in abortion facilities are not the enemy. God wants to rescue them from sin and death, just like he has rescued us and continues to rescue us from that. So, you know, I think it's anything that you feel called to do that 40 days that you know that will be a true sacrifice and remind you to pray for an end to abortion.
Now, we have a lot of, actually, most of our 40 days, we have a parish or group of parishes or an organization taking that 24-hour period on as like a sponsor or a day captain, and they fill up their 24 hours with at least two people per hour. Do you have any tips for those people who are still, maybe towards the end of the campaign, you know, they took one of the later days, and they're about to do their recruitment in the parish? Any tips on how to do that, how to efficiently and effectively recruit?
Yes, that's a great question, because a lot of campaigns are doing more of that day adoption where they have a church adopt a full 12 or 24-hour period. And here's probably my biggest piece of advice. Go to your pastor and your church secretary and let them know, first of all, which day you've adopted. They might like to join you on that, or the church secretary is going to be your ally for communicating with the rest of the parish or the church. I would pick a Sunday to advertise at all services. And after all services, you can ask your priest or your pastor if you can do an announcement right after all services, pointing them to a table in, you know, the narthex or an area just outside of the church sanctuary. You can set up a 40 Days for Life table and have all 40 days out there, but also market your day especially. And have a couple people out there that are actually passing out flyers. This is a beautiful example of how to do this. Here in Dallas, usually three people from the Dallas 40 Days for Life team will go and into a church or into a parish, and a couple people will be out front passing out flyers, and one will be at the table, and they'll be pulling people over and saying, hey, come sign up for ours, and they're excited, and they're all decked out in their 40 Days for Life gear. Many times, too, having the priest make an announcement or asking him to slide it into the homily, that is especially effective. I mean, really, when our pastors, when our shepherds of our faith are out in front and telling people we need to stand for life, and this is one of the best opportunities to do so, we really do see results. So But you want to get it in front of folks as much as possible. Run that bulletin announcement. Put flyers up in the church. If you go to your local campaign, they'll quite often have flyers ready-made that you can get from them and post in the church, post on bulletin boards in the Adoration Chapel, reminding people to pray. So
yeah, we've made all of that available in English and Spanish. On that our local Chicago website. So, you know, like the national website is 40daysforlife.com. Ours is, you know, you take that same 40daysforlife.com/Chicago, and you'll see on the upper right-hand corner of the homepage is this little word, forms. And that's how the technical person, I think it's, is it David Brando?
Yeah. David Brando.
He put that together where I was like, how, I need to get our forms available for people to just download off the web. And so he was able to work that out for us. And we're able to upload those forms. And we have everything, even the statement of peace in English and Spanish. We have the bulletin announcements, pulpit announcements that they can specialize, you know, to their parish, you know, personalize. The flyer can be personalized as well. But it's there, and they can print it off. And they're so beautiful. The flyers are gorgeous. You know, beautiful babies and mothers and, you know.
Right.
I mean, really, really well done. So we have that available. How important is that vigil calendar?
Well, you know, some people get a little intimidated by the vigil calendar. I know I'm one of them. I'm a little technology challenged sometimes. You know, we're looking at possible technology upgrades right now. But, yeah, I think the campaigns that have the most success actually also keep a written schedule of the 40 days with them. So that usually the vigil coordinator is the one that does that, or somebody else on the team. But they keep all 40 days, and we've actually got day schedulers in our online campaign headquarters for local campaigns, so they can download one of those and print it out and put it in a binder. Mm-hmm. And that way, when folks come over to the table, they can sign up right then. You know, if folks have to kind of do a hop, skip, and a jump through a bunch of technology, sometimes they get discouraged and they won't go directly to it. But then again, you do have folks that are very comfortable with the vigil calendar. So I think the goal is to have both and synchronize those. You know, the campaigns that, again, that have had the most success is, you know, they've got somebody watching that online vigil calendar along with the written schedule, and they just make sure that both are reflecting the most updated information.
So if there's a day captain listening who doesn't like technology or doesn't even have the internet, you know, or computer at home, we can handle all your scheduling online for you. So if you just call our office at 312-534-5355, and you can talk to Victor or Debbie or myself, but ask for Victor first because he's the point person on this, on the campaign. I used to do this every year, and God bless Victor. I'm glad that he's doing it. And people, he's really doing a great job and following up with the folks. And if we have any day captains who are struggling to fill their day and they have some hours that they just can't seem to fill, let us know. Give us like 72 hours notice, and we'll send out an urgent email for that day and for those hours that really need to get filled. Yeah. And I can tell you most of the time those will get filled. Depending on, you know, maybe it's just a difficult day for us to find people to go out there. And in that case, you know, one of us will go out, you know, if we need to.
That's great. That's great. Well, and also, Margie, too, there's a lot of small groups within a church or a parish, like the Knights of Columbus group, the men's group. There's women's Bible studies, there's youth groups, there's all of these different subgroups within a church or a parish that you can go to and say, hey, as a small group, would you like to adopt even just a couple hours of time out at the vigil? So you can get a lot of these smaller groups to adopt a small amount of time. You know, you might have to go to the group and introduce it to them and speak about 40 Days for Life for 5 minutes, but it's completely worth it. And you can really activate your parish by going to these smaller communities within a church or a parish. So,
well, Lauren, thank you for being on with us. We've run out of time. So I wanted to say God bless you for your efforts.
Thank
and
you.
We'll keep you in prayer, and we ask, please keep us in prayer. I know you have to pray for many locations, over 300, right? so, but just keep up the great work, and God bless you. you.
Thank you. God bless you all, too.
Thank you so much. Now, you know, we are having our benefit dinner for our Chastity Education Initiative. It's coming up on October 16th at the Drury Lane. That's a Sunday. And Drury Lane is in Oak Brook Terrace. And it starts at 4:30, right, Victor?
Yeah, 4:30.
And 4:30 is the reception, and 5:30 is the dinner. And we have Leah Darrow. Like I said, Leah is a former model and reality TV participant on America's Next Top Model. And she's going to tell her conversion story. And this is an important way that we bring in the funds to do the ministry, to bring chastity education, puberty education to the fifth and sixth graders, and to talk about pro-life and really train up the youth to be leaders in the church. So we're doing a lot of great things. So please support us. You can find out more at respectlifechicago.org. So you go to www.respectlifechicago.org or call us at 312-534-5355. So thank you so much. Tune in the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. for a lively discussion of issues that make a difference in your life. For Victor Vallejo, this is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. Have a safe and happy Respect Life Month. God bless you.